Blog Talk Radio.
Hopefully having several cocktails, relaxing or smoking, whatever you do, what have you. Just a wonderful, kind of gloomy late summer evening here in Detroit, where we're broadcasting out of here in Detroit. It's been kind of a murky, rainy day, but trying to keep the dabber up and talk about some cool stuff and maybe get a call or two in and talk about some stuff you guys want to talk about, some subjects on your mind, talk about this crazy fucking world we live in. And on that note, I'm going to introduce my old cohort, my old partner, old DB out there.
Hey, what's happening, man? What's going on?
Nothing much.
Back around for another episode.
Right.
In the long-running series.
Yeah, a whack and stack another one tonight. Kicking back, drinking this beer from Anderson Valley. It's called Summer Solstice.
Yeah.
A natural, what is it? It's supposed to be like an organic or natural ale flavored with natural flavors. It's got like a little spice to it. It's like kind of like a wheat ale, I guess. It's not too bad.
Cool. So, oh, yeah, I'm drinking another Oberon, man. I got about five left, so I'm finishing them up.
Like,
the ho-hum Oberon, but they're still good. Trying to squeeze some summer out yet, you know, with the summer beers.
Right.
Last few
probably
days.
I'm like five left. Shit, you won't even make it through the show.
Yeah, but they've been tasty,
yeah.
Man, and it can't beat the
gold. Oberon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey, you know what else
is
really good is I've been drinking a lot of that Founders Dirt. I guess I've talked about that before. Dirty Bastard.
Yeah, you've.
I got some on tap right up in town now. You know, the town that's closest by, Hillsdale, they're super religious, man. Super religious, super conservative.
Right.
And they never want to give out liquor licenses. There's only like, I forgot the population here. I think it's 15,000, maybe 20,000. I mean, it's a good little borough, you know, whatever. There's two bars in the entire town. And one of them's the size of like a fucking closet. Dude, it's just like this little hole in the wall. They've got really good food, and they have live music and stuff, but it's super small. So they just opened up this big-ass bar right downstairs from this restaurant that also opened or expanded out of this market. And they've got like 30 beers on tap, man, so I'm like in heaven. I was down there drinking Dirty Bastard. I'm like, oh, my God, on tap here in Hillsdale.
Wow.
Oh, sweet.
That's
my
crazy.
Beer story. Live music. I mean, it's unheard of. This shit's unheard of around here. So it's like an epiphany.
Hillsdale's kind of like Mayberry from the Andy Griffith Show.
It totally is. That's not, I mean, that's like exactly it, man. Very country, you know, everyone's a lot of farmers and Amish and, you know, it doesn't get much more conservative than Amish people.
Amish.
You know?
Amish. What the fuck, man?
they are interesting running, people, man.
Chickens running around in front of you.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, dude, there's the banks have they've got tie down posts for the Amish horses and the buggies. They got posts where they can ride right up and tie their horses right down to it and go into the bank. There's one outside the courthouse. You know, and it's odd, man.
That's fucking
hilarious. So anyway, we got good beer now is the whole point of that.
Isn't that a daisy?
We got tasty beer.
Right.
So that was
I'm going to have to try that. You've plugged that beer probably about four or five times since
we've been
doing
the
show. I'm telling
you, drink like two
of them.
It's like 9%. It's like 9.4 or something like that.
Well, I see it all the time in the stores and stuff, but I haven't bought and I'll step in.
Good.
I'm going to have to break down and get at least a six. And
I think that's out of Grand Rapids. I think. It's out of Michigan somewhere.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Right.
Well, Michigan's got some fucking good breweries nowadays, dude. That Dark Horse Brewery in Marshall, they make some killer beer. When I was up at BlizzFest, get together up north. It's like a festival, and they have, they've got tons of woods, all kinds of stages everywhere, music playing. But anyway, they were serving Dark Horse there the whole time, man, and it was good. That's the first time I've ever had it, and that's out of Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Bell's, which I always prop out of Kalamazoo.
Right.
I was one of the first guinea pigs on Bell's, man. I mean, we were the place I worked at, Bilbo's, which is now closed, the original location. They had music almost every night there. But they were one of the first bars anywhere to serve Bell's. And they had all the good shit, man, all the unfiltered beer. That stuff would rock your world, man. It'd be like you're, like, fucking hallucinating on it and shit. you drink the fucking remnants of, like, there's all this thick sediment and shit at the bottom of it. Woo!
Right.
Man, that would rock your shit, man. Yeah, it was good beer, but they're filtering almost everything they do now.
It's like fucking chunks of alcohol.
It is. It's like a fucking meal, man. So everybody thinks Guinness is heavy, man. For it used to be Solson. It's Oberon now, but when it was called Solson, that shit was even unfiltered, and all the corn sediment and shit, that they make out of it, right in the bottom of that fucker, man. You drink it, and you're just hammered.
That's what you guys used to give all the young college girls and shit.
It's like a roofie.
Right.
Which I guess isn't too funny nowadays.
Hey, quit praying on me, would you?
Rice and shit. I guess it is.
Yeah. Right. Well, you just offer it, and if they drink it, they drink it. You don't force it on them. It's not illegal if they agree to it. What's that?
They all knew, man. All those hippie girls in college, they could just about fucking outdrink me, man. All the hippie girls are heavy drinkers. They could they could get hammered with you.
I gotta watch those samples like that because you know why.
I live with a very dangerous woman.
Right.
Was she? Is she standing right behind you or something? She's like,
no.
She's got a fucking switch ready to whack you upside the head.
Morticia listens to the show every once in a while, so yeah, she don't like to hear no samples like this.
Hey man, you know what you can say to her? You can just say, hey, at least it's not you. I haven't recorded you playing it on the radio show.
She's probably saying something like, well, you're usually not around when I'm making those noises. Oh, boy. Oh, geez.
Well, man, tell her to, tell her to get the iPhone working next time and you can lay some down on the radio show.
Yeah.
Next time you go to the quote-unquote veterinarian or something.
Right, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Right.
Oh, fuck,
so what's
dude.
Going on, man?
I don't know, man.
What's going on in fucking
almost
world?
Too much going on in the world. The old president's right. gonna talk tonight about the ISIS shit, and I think we've already discussed that. I don't know how many times, and keep coming to the conclusion. You know, we gave them the weapons that we're now going to go back and kill them with because they're actually using them. You know,
right.
We're gonna bomb.
Yeah.
We gave them American-made weapons, and now we're gonna bomb them with American-made weapons.
How dare you use those weapons to do stuff that
we gave
we're trying
you.
To act. We're trying to act like we don't want you to do, but we probably do want you to do.
We wanted
that.
You to overthrow Assad, and you didn't do it. So now we're gonna fucking wipe you out.
You're right.
With more weapons.
Which is great.
Yeah, man.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm surprised, like, I think they're scared, but I'm surprised the Kurds, they don't have the Kurds going in and just fucking them off. I mean, the Kurds helped out that those people trapped in the mountains and shit, you know, in northern Iraq, and helped them
right.
get out, I guess several thousand. You know, those Kurds are badasses,
yeah.
man. I think
yeah,
they're
yeah.
just scared to unleash them. You know, if they
right.
they'd take over the whole fucking country, it'd be Kurdistan.
Maybe we should give them weapons.
Iraq.
Maybe we should give them weapons. You know?
Well, we did. Didn't you?
Oh.
That's how they went in.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course. But
yeah,
if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
That's all
the
people escape, man. We armed the Kurds. And then they went in and confronted ISIS in the mountains. They were trying to kill all those, I think they were Christians and whatever else. And,
right.
and we gave the Kurds weapons so that they could fend them off and help those people through the mountains, supposedly. That's the
oh, that's
story.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
Who the fuck knows, dude?
Shut it, Bell.
It's so convoluted.
Take your shoes off.
And now, what he's
doing
is he's coming on the air to justify bombing Syria now because they've gone back into Syria.
Right.
So, man, this was probably their plan all along. I mean, it seems,
right.
you know.
Well, they wanted justification
to go in and bomb
yeah.
Syria.
They wanted to get Syria before.
Hasta
yeah.
la vista, baby.
Nobody wanted
right.
to. Now he's coming back again. They keep pushing for bombing Syria. So, fuck, here we go.
Right.
Another fucking... I mean, we're just all over the fucking place, man. We're killing
right.
people all over the world.
It's insane.
I don't know, dude. It's
Marge,
like,
are we Jewish?
No, Homer.
Woohoo!
It's
yeah.
just fucking nonstop, man.
I know. It's
I
like,
know.
Where's it going to end?
It doesn't,
I don't
ever.
Know. I think, you know, I think just someday we're gonna get ours, man. You know, we got it coming.
Well,
it's
going to
be a sad
fucking
day.
A lot of people are saying it's
going
to come from within. You know, the country feels like it's rotting, and the conservatives are saying it's the progressives, and the progressives, the conservatives, but it's everybody. I mean, everybody's buying into this fucking system of greed. That seems prevalent in our economy. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you don't die rich, then you're not trying. You know, and,
right.
and you know, even like if this is a good example, like Adam Carolla said that rich people are better than poor people. They just do more there in their day, and they're more important. They do more important things. This is a thing that they like that a dick like Carolla doesn't get. Not everybody
right.
gives a fuck about being greedy and becoming
right.
rich and having fucking. I mean, it's not. You know, these people that are rich think that everybody in the world wants to be.
Right.
You know,
and they're not.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's just people just
right.
want to live their lives, man. They don't want to be fucked with. They don't want the rich people to fuck with the poor. You know, which is happening
right.
over and over. You know. And you know, a vast majority of Americans in the world, they don't give a fuck if they're rich. I mean, money doesn't mean that much to them. They have
right.
other priorities, you know.
Well,
but people that are rich don't get that shit, dude.
Well,
they
people that
you know,
are,
they think everybody wants to be.
Right. Well, it's the people that are ultra-motivated, that are the ultra-rich, that are super-motivated, those are the people that are causing all the problems.
Right.
And, you know, like George Carlin said in the, you know, a long time ago, he said, show me some lazy prick laying on his couch smoking dope all day, jacking off, not doing nothing. He goes, and I'll show you somebody who isn't causing any problems.
Right.
You know,
that's
not the lazy poor people that are causing all the problems. It's the fucking
yeah.
greedy rich people. they're causing
they just
all the
don't
problems.
Give a fuck about other people. And they say, whatever. I mean, even as an, just some dude that just, you know, just wants to work 40 hours a week and fucking pay his bills and have fun with his friends on the weekend or his family,
right,
or whatever else, and not be fucked with, you know? I mean, in so many different ways right now, man. I mean, especially economically. I mean, talk about fucking terrorism. The banking industry,
right,
is just fucking straight out the terrorists in the world. I mean, they call, you know,
oh, right,
they finance war all
cause
over the world, and they fucking siphon, right, so much money from the middle class and poor class.
Right.
I mean, we gave them trillions of dollars, you know?
Right.
I mean, they're fucking terrorists,
gonna,
dude.
I was gonna quote this meme, this one meme. That's probably, people have seen this a lot before. It's been on Facebook for quite a long time, a year or two. But that's the one where it says, if you make, you know, $50,000, which is basically, you know, you're right on the verge of being working poor now, making 50 grand
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, you're lucky
but,
nowadays to make 50.
If you're making 50, you're like lower middle class. So, but it says, if you make $50,000 per year, you pay $247 a year for defense, national defense. You pay $4 a year for disaster relief, which is basically FEMA. You pay $22 a year for unemployment insurance for the unemployed. You pay, which also pays for yours if you become unemployed. You pay $36 a year for food stamps and for SNAP and food stamps. You pay $7 a year for welfare, which is the financial aid for welfare. You pay $43 a year for retirement and disability for government workers, civilian and military. You pay $235 for Medicaid, and you pay, get this, $4,000 a year in corporate subsidies.
Wow.
And then it says at the bottom, are you sure you're pissed off at the right people?
Right.
You know, it's one of those memes that's quit being pissed off at the poor. So
right,
basically, you're paying the most of anything that comes out of your check is $247 a year for defense. So you're basically paying like at least 20 times, that would be about 20 times more a year for corporate welfare, corporate subsidy, tax subsidies, than we are for national defense.
Yeah.
And you're paying,
for welfare
for people, you're paying $7 a year as opposed to $4,000 a year for corporate welfare, basically. So, I mean, that's,
for,
you know,
the,
what
the
a thousand,
problem
thousand
is for most people, it's easier to see some, you know, African American screwing the system for $5,000-$10,000 and thinking that it's the end of the world, you know,
mm-hmm,
and it's going to happen. I mean, African American, white, whatever, but I'm just using that as a particular example.
Right.
And, you know, it's a massive system, and in any massive system, you're going to have corruption and graft, right? And,
right,
and you have to limit it as much as possible, no matter what that system is, organization,
right,
a company, you know, whatever. But
mm-hmm,
most people just don't get that, man. They would rather look at that individual person. They think that they're driving around a Cadillac and have a butler because they're on welfare, instead of these fucking corporations that are the people running them that are doing exactly,
right,
that. You know, they're doing
they're
doing everything that they're imagining the poor people are doing, the rich people getting government subsidies, corporate subsidies.
They don't understand.
They
can't understand they're being robbed. They're being robbed by the rich so much more than any screw job the poor is doing.
Yeah.
It's thousands and thousands of times worse. They don't understand that these rich cocksuckers that run these corporations get into our government, and they make,
right,
laws, and they make taxing laws and everything to set up these companies to just rake in money and get billions in tax subsidies, and the whole system is rigged so the rich keep getting richer, and the,
yeah,
and the middle class is fucked. Like I was watching last night. I was watching Louis Black. You know, the old comedian Louis Black.
Right.
He was talking. I'm not sure how true a fact this is, but I don't think he would say it if it wasn't true in his show. But he said after 160, if you make above 116,000 a year, all that money above that is not, there is no Social Security tax comes out of that. And I've heard that before somewhere else.
Yeah.
But we haven't made above that, so I don't really know. But so, you know, if that's the fact, you know, he goes, why do you think that rule is like that? And he goes, do you ever ask yourself that? You know, it's like we have all these companies and all these people making millions and millions of dollars, and they're not being taxed on it. How could you have some guy that's doing funds and stuff, a fund trader or whatever, he's making $200 million a year, and he's paying 50% tax, than some schlub making $50,000 a year is paying 30% tax.
Right.
It's not right. It's not fucking right, dude.
Well, I know
they're going to say, well, we pay a lot more, but it doesn't fucking matter. You know,
right.
it should be the same for everyone.
It's a way harsher, larger hardship on a middle-class person than it is a fucking rich person.
If you're going to take a third of their fucking money, they ain't got no money to begin with, and you're going to take a third of it with some rich cocksucker making $200 million a year on Wall Street, and he's only paying a fucking 15%?
Yeah.
And a lot of that is even questionable, the way they hide everything.
Right.
Shit, bullshit. You know?
It's class. The problem is, man, is people have been sold a story, especially, you know, you can't even limit it to Fox, but they're the main contributor. They're the corporate Nazis, man. They're the ones that, you know, running the fascist agenda, man, for corporatism. Everybody buys into the you know that this is how it's supposed to be. And those rich people, you know, like you just see so many people that live like shit. They live in terrible conditions, but they think like these people that are rich are the ones that they're being sold a story that's how they're supposed to be to a certain extent, man. You know, it's always on TV as you know, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how everyone's supposed to, you know, everyone's supposed to be a billionaire, you know.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you what. I don't care. There may be some exemptions from the rule or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, if you become a billionaire and you worked yourself from the ground up and became a billionaire, you've crushed and walked over a lot of people.
Right.
That fucking money. That money
right.
doesn't just fucking. That money just doesn't fucking evaporate out of thin air. You're taking that money from somebody. That money is taken from somebody.
Right.
There are people losing
money. Well, in a capitalist society,
people losing
money
in
their
fucking...
That's capitalism. That's the structure of capitalism. Is the upper echelon, the elite, make all their money off the working class. That's capitalism.
Right.
That's it. So
right.
That's the problem. Is what we've got going is an economic, protocol for the U.S. It's running great, man. It's all the rich people are getting richer and everybody else is getting fucked. You know, the middle class, the poor. I see these ads for Rick Snyder, dude. Have you seen those? The governor of Michigan,
God,
of course,
dude.
He's up again for election. And apparently they're running neck and neck, which is good to see. I would love to see him beat. I would love it. But he's talking about how he reduced the debt in Michigan and everything. And I've seen one of the most powerful political commercials. I usually ignore them. I can't stand them. But it just had this teacher talking, and she basically explained how Rick Snyder came in and cut massive amounts of money out of the education budget and then gave a tax break to all of his rich buddies in the corporations in Michigan and raised taxes on old people, on senior citizens. But I think taxes went up almost in general across the board for blue collar.
Right. And he raised taxes on people's retirements.
Yeah,
like big three and their retirement stuff. Those guys are making
tax
way less
retirement,
money now. Than,
dude. Well, giving corporations a break.
Dude.
Holy shit.
He did, dude. And the Republicans are supposed to be anti-tax, a smaller government, lowering taxes. He's fucking opposite, dude. He's raised taxes way more than Granholm ever did. I mean, you know, he's nuts.
Well, just on the poor and middle class, dude. Everybody else, all these corporations got massive tax breaks. And it's not only that, it's like he's giving to all these tax breaks to almost all the corporations in Michigan and all upper income people. So all the rich people are getting richer, and he fucking laid it on the backs of the middle class and the poor and the retired. I mean, what?
Right.
How fucking disgusting, man.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't know how people could vote. I don't know how people vote for that motherfucker.
I don't know.
I don't know how you could be a working class person. We had people where I worked at the steel mill, dude, that voted for him. They fucking vote Republican all the time. All they do, dude, they vote against their own pocketbook, against their own well being, dude, because they don't like Obama.
They don't like liberals.
They're being sold a story about gun control, that liberal Democrats are going to take away their guns.
But this is the problem, man.
They're fucking
ignorant. It's an agenda throughout the political system is the problem. I mean, look at Obama. He has record poverty rates now. He's got the friendliest corporate environment maybe ever of any president ever, maybe even more so than Bush. I mean, look how much money he gave to the banking system and trillions of dollars, you know. So the problem is, this is a good example of it, and a perfect example of why both the fucking political parties are complete bullshit. It's because they have the same thread going through them, the same theme, and it's fucking all about benefiting corporate power. Republican as governor in Michigan, Democrat as president of the United States. It doesn't matter. They've got the same fucking same protocol, same end goal, and it's. I mean, that's the thing, man. It's got to be shattered. I'm hoping like Jesse Ventura keeps talking about running for president. And he's half joking, half not. Have you heard that? And he wants to run with Howard Stern, because if he gets all private donations, he doesn't have to worry about the FCC. They can go on there and do fundraising right on Howard's show and not have to worry about all kinds of regulations that other people do.
Right.
Because he wouldn't corporate donations.
Right.
And he wants Stern as vice president. Now, this is a thing that I wouldn't be surprised if Ventura got millions of votes. I mean, he did as governor, right, in Minnesota.
Oh, he would get millions of votes for sure.
For sure.
But, you know.
And even with Stern, I mean, he would get a bunch of – this is what would happen is he'd get a bunch of people that don't give a fuck about politics and probably never vote or have voted. They might come out and vote just because Stern is running. You know what I'm saying? Those fuckers, half of Stern's audience and shit. He's got a 20 million strong audience, dude. 20 million.
Right. Stern. So even if half those people came out and voted for him, that's a big amount.
Yeah. So, but I can't imagine Stern being vice president. I mean, they joke about it.
No.
I would guess that if they were even going to try it, then maybe they would do it, and then he would bow out. Stern would maybe bow out towards the end.
Right.
But if I hope it happens, because what it would do is disrupt the political system completely.
Right.
It would add a third candidate in that would have a chance of either disrupting or even winning a presidential election, especially with fucking Hillary Clinton that's going to win it. I'm telling you, it's already a done deal with Clinton. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of Democrats that aren't going to want to vote for her. I mean, I'm pretty liberal. I mean, I'll never vote for a Republican, so I don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. So, you know,
I'd vote for Warren before Clinton by far. Did you see what Bill Maher said about Clinton? Bill Maher just last day or two. He said he goes, I understand the proclivity to vote for Rand Paul. He goes, I understand people wanting to vote for someone that doesn't want to extend our wars across the entire world anymore, wants to bring our troops home, wants to stop, spending so much on military. He goes, I would probably vote for Rand Paul. Or wait, how did he say it? He said, I understand I would have a tendency to vote for Rand Paul before Hillary Clinton because she's such a war hawk, I think he called her.
Right. Chicken hawk.
War hawk. But I mean, that in itself, man, I mean,
the only thing with Rand Paul is,
scared of fucking Hillary Clinton.
The only thing with Rand Paul is, The only thing with Rand Paul is then once again you're going to have the corporate powers
right.
in charge.
Right.
You're going to have a guy that's for the rich, that's
right.
for fucking corporations. That's
he'll be still against, Hillary. Still with Hillary.
Yeah. Well,
but
Hillary will be too.
Hillary will do
right.
the same thing. Just back to our thread here of this. You know, she will do the. I mean, she's a massive corporatist, dude. She, I mean, Secretary
right.
of State. She had a Bilderberg conference where she meets with all the corporate heads of the world almost every year. That's why I think she's a done deal. But she's a massive
right.
corporatist, and that's the thing about Rand Paul. He is too. That's the thing about Elizabeth Warren. She is not, and she's
right.
still calling for prosecutions on Wall Street.
Right.
I'm down with anybody trying to fucking put some of these people away that stole all that money.
Look at Iceland, dude. You always see the meme on Facebook how Iceland, they threw out the fucking bankers, dude. They fucking broke up the banks.
They arrested
a lot of people. They totally took over the government. They took over
yeah.
the money monetary system and everything. They gave it back to the fucking people. They reformulated everything. I mean, they
yep.
fucking threw out the bankers in fucking Iceland, dude.
Socialize
you
the
know?
Financial system. That's what we need
right.
to do, man. And socialism is such a dirty word with all these crazy-ass conservative
right-wingers.
Right. But, you know, again, socialism is everywhere. I mean, it's our fire
right.
department, our police department, our roads, our stop
right.
signs, our on and on and on, you know, plowing the roads and whatever. Socialism is everywhere. But it... What it would do is the government could print our own fucking money instead
right.
of the Federal Reserve, this fake ass fucking company created just to steal money from the American people,
right.
printing money out of nowhere with no backing, no gold standard, just printing as much money as they want whenever they want. When the fucking United States Congress can print their own money,
right?
The power to print their own money. And instead,
right.
we as a nation and a government pay a certain percent back to the Federal Reserve to, quote-unquote, borrow that money
right.
from the Federal Reserve.
That's why we're always
in debt. Instead of fucking – and they're printing it out of fucking thin air.
Right. It's just
crazy.
A shell game is what it is. It's a giant shell game.
Yep.
And people – we're getting fucking robbed. We've been getting robbed since what 1913 now, or when did that go into effect?
Yep, 1913.
Federal Reserve Act.
Yep.
Yeah,
Woodrow
we've been robbed since then. I mean, it's fucking,
yeah.
I mean, it needs to, that's why, you know, that's one of the only things about Ron Paul that I really supported was that and removing troops from overseas was the two things that I always supported that he said. And I haven't heard a lot of other politicians saying that. And that's one of the reasons why I supported him. And then we have, you know, friends that are against Ron Paul. He's a racist. He's a piece of shit. You know all this and that, and
yeah.
that's you know I kind of you know it makes you leery about him. But the one thing that I always you know I couldn't put down on him was end the Fed, and I know
right.
that's a big thing. I mean that's
two
one
big
of the things,
things
that,
man. Is he's against the Fed and he's against
right.
our worldwide empire, and but
mm-hmm.
but where why can't we? That used to be, but at least
Whoop.
The empire part of things used to be. The Democrats' foray, man. The Democrats used to
right.
be against the wars, and against, somewhere along
right.
the line, they bought into it, right along
right.
with the right wing, man. It's unpatriotic if you speak against you know the wars we've got going on all over the world. You can't speak against it anymore, man. It's, you know, ever since 9/11, I mean, everything fucking changed, of course, on that day.
Right, right.
But one of it.
Speaking
one
of 9/11,
thing,
hey, we got a lot of open lines here. If anybody wants to call in on the eve of 9/11 here, September 10th, it's call in 646-595-4686. If you're listening and you want to call in, talk about whatever we've talked about so far or start up a new subject or possibly even 9/11, conspiracy, whatever. If you want to talk about religion, atheism, you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, call us, and we'll open it up to whatever you want to talk about. So, but
did you see that thread I had with our friend from high school that we were saying is, you know, shaky about his beliefs and stuff?
Shaky? Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't. No, I didn't.
This
I did
is
not
the funny
see
part. Now I got to tell you that now this is what's going on. We said in the past where he's a little concerned about I think about his faith and stuff. I invited him on the show, so he may be listening.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I'm not 100% sure he's shaky, but I think he doesn't want to.
I think
doesn't want to.
I'll tell you why.
I don't think he wants to delve into debate or listen to the other side of it.
That's just not him.
That's a ton of people that are Christians or religious don't want to do that. So
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
They can't hear it. It drives them crazy. It does something to their brain.
It challenges their faith. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But this is the part I do think it. You know we were talking previously about him, so maybe he's a, and we never mentioned his name, just in the third person. But
he
always is quoting these modern day religious authors or theologians or whatever, and never the Bible. And it came back to man, he's having a hard time reconciling himself with the Bible. Enough, man, like yesterday or 2 days ago, he posts this big, long thing about how he wants to get a group together. It's like a group, almost like a book club for the Bible, and how the Bible is relevant to modern-day life and everything. So I was the first comment on there, and I commented – it was off. I was like, good luck with that one.
Yeah.
And then I came back
That's
later
funny.
And I was like, and I quoted a couple of passages from the Bible, ones we talked about before about thrashing kids' heads against the rocks and shit like that, crazy shit. And he goes, oh, I'm well
Isn't
aware of
daisy?
Those and many others.
What did he say?
He said, I'm well aware of those and many others.
Right.
So he's actually been reading the Bible. Man. Yeah. He cannot he knows that Bible that was written by dudes from the fucking Iron Age that thought that the earth was flat is completely unrelevant, not relevant to modern day life or religion even, I think at this point.
If you go by the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, you read that, even the New Testament's fucked up. If you read that and want to live your life by that and use all those laws and rules, and I mean, you're basically you might as well just be a fucking jihadist, a radical Islam, because I mean, like at that point, that's what you are, anyways. You become fucking nuts. There's so much shit that's crazy in there. There's so much wrong information that we know now.
Contradictory.
The Gospels all contradict each other.
Yeah.
I mean, the Old Testament, anything that has to do with science or natural, the universe or anything, it's all pretty much wrong. Most of the stuff is wrong. Like the earth is on pillars and all that stuff. It's all just ridiculous.
That's in the Bible?
The earth is on pillars. It's flat. It's on pillars.
Really?
Right?
That's in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Right.
That's one that passed me. I've read the Bible a couple times. It's been a long time, man. That's
what
turned me into an atheist, really. I mean,
that's what they did. They said the quickest way to become an atheist is to actually read the Bible.
I mean, there's so many ridiculous things, the dude living in a whale. it's just crazy, man. It's so
my
ridiculous.
Whole thing is, because I've seen Pentecostal preachers. I used to go to a lot of Pentecostal preacher churches and real evangelical churches and stuff. I used to like to feel the spirit, and the energy, and I didn't like
and
the
to take you over.
Calm. Yeah, I like to get that, that spirit and all that. So, I mean, I've actually heard so many times pastors and preachers that were real on fire, that were supposed to be leaders, great leaders and great, men of God, they say if one jot or tittle is wrong, one line is untrue in that Bible, the whole thing is trash. So they say every single thing in there is right and that we are wrong because we don't understand it. And that's what they say. But there are so many things wrong in it, and there are so many things that are not true and not right. And, I mean, it's just tons of stuff, really. I mean, we could go for hours, and if you want to try to catalog all the things that are wrong and incorrect or things that contradict each other in the New Testament and with the Gospels and everything contradicts each other constantly. I mean, it's crazy. If you ever read any of Bart Ehrman's books about the Bible, his, you know, misquoting Jesus is in one. He's written about 5 or 6 really good books about the Bible, and this guy knows his shit, man. He was, like, Harvard trained. He's theological studies Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He's a, you know, frickin' best-selling author. He lectures all over the country. This guy knows the Bible inside out. He's like a Bible historian. He is, basically. And he went from Christian to agnostic to basically atheist over, like, the last 15 years just through his writing all these books. And, you know, so, I mean, if you ever have any interest in that, that's a good – Bart Ehrman is a great author to read about
the
Bible. You know, and the origins, he's really good on origins and why things were written, where they were written, what, you know, who did what, you know, how many years, 100 years after actually Christ supposedly lived, a lot of this stuff was written. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of it's not, I mean, it's just stories. It's, you know, it's made up stories.
Well, there's actually an article on RossStory.com. It's did the historical Jesus exist? A growing number of scholars don't think so. And they just have 5 points in here. One of them says, no first century secular evidence whatsoever exists to support the actuality of Yeshua ben Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Jesus. There's 5 in here. Number 2, the earliest New Testament writers seem ignorant of the details of Jesus' life, which became more crystallized in later texts.
Right, right.
And number 3, even the New Testament stories don't claim to be first-hand accounts.
Right.
Number 4, the Gospels are only accounts of a historical Jesus contradict each other, just like we said. And then the 5th one, modern scholars who claim to have uncovered the real historical Jesus depict wildly different persons.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, there's really no evidence. I mean, but, you know, it's like, it would be like, I mean, Christians are claiming the Bible is true. So that really means, like, you know, that Noah's Ark happened. And this is the thing I don't get is how people are trying to justify the Bible in modern day life, but you can't. It's one or the other, man. I mean, either it is.
What is it, man?
Your religious document, or it's not. You know, or you can't be like, well, this kind of is, and this is, you know, and this sort of is. I mean, either it's a document written by God, which, you know, some Christians believe, or it's not. I mean, it's not kind of written by God, you know, or maybe, I mean,
you want to base your whole life on something, you know, and, you know, it better be right, it better be true, it better be the truth. And, I mean, it's very apparent to me that it isn't. And I don't want to waste my life, you know. I mean, is there some things in the Bible like, you know, love your neighbor as yourself or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's
some things in there that are good, but they've all been repeated by earlier religions and earlier writings.
And, you know, in the
dude,
it's common sense. A good person's going to be good and a bad person's going to be bad. That bad person, when they become Christian, is just looking for a way for absolution. They're looking, they want to be forgiven. They want to go and live some shitty life where they do terrible things to other people and then be forgiven for it.
Right.
You know?
So
that's where religion is so damn handy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it comes in. Is I can go out and be a dick as much as I want, and as long as I supposedly believe in Jesus, you know, I'm going to heaven.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
But I tell you, man, Christians seem to be getting more radical. I think it's because there's more of us. There's more atheists in the world, and there's more vocal atheists. Know, like Christopher Hitchens, if he was around in the 50s, he probably would have been assassinated. You know, or Richard Dawkins or whatever, man.
Right.
I mean, he would have been taken out. You know, if he would have done speaking engagements in the U.S. in the 50s or whatever earlier, you know, I mean, he would have been taken out.
This is how big atheism is getting now. My wife, Morticia, who's not a super vocal out front atheist, she's because of her position and where she works and stuff, she kind of keeps it real low key, and she doesn't put anything on Facebook or anything or really talk to people about anything. She said that she said her hero and her role model is Madeline Mary O'Hare, which you know who she is. She was the first big – you don't know who she is?
No.
Madeline Mary O'Hare was like the first outspoken public big-time atheist. I think she came out in the 60s. She looked like an old battle axe. She had like crazy red hair. She was this real visually unpleasant woman, but she was real super smart. She was real ornery. She was the one that she got a prayer thrown out of schools. She filed a lawsuit against public schools or whatever to get the prayer out of public schools. She did that in I think it was the late 60s or early 70s, something like that. And she lectured all over through colleges and everywhere. She was a real, real big mouth, but like real. I mean, you look her up sometime and listen to some of her speeches and her. She had a really good speech on what atheism is and you know what it's not. It was really, really good. She was like the first major atheist in the United States that was like you know people knew and that fought the system, fought the kind of religious right. But yeah, when she said that, I nearly fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" She was really demonized in this country and stuff. She was doing it when it was really, really unpopular. She was hated by many, many people. She was hated
still
by
is.
Many people.
Not quite as bad though. I mean, that's. I think that's the good thing is people are. You know, starting to choose a humanist point of view and a common sense point of view that if Noah's Ark happened, we'd all be retarded, you know, and you'd see, you know, animals all fucking 12 heads
right.
And shit like that, you know, through genetics,
right.
Which we talked about before. But, that's the thing is they're getting so radical, and a lot of it are like church leaders. I mean, there's crazy shit happening, like, here's one that happened in Michigan, man. This guy from Grand Rapids, he was arrested, I believe up north, but he was arrested. Former Christian radio host John Baglio admits sex with a boy, 12. I knew it was wrong, he says, in Kalamazoo County. He was caught. So that just happened recently.
Right.
Uh-huh. And that was from Michigan.
Nice.
So that's another one where they're so sexually repressed, and all they do is talk about sex
right.
and how terrible it is, and you're not supposed to do it. And then, you know, here they are fucking banging little boys.
Right.
Or boys in general, which is, you know, that's
right.
Like that dude. That dude out in Colorado, you know, he's in a mega church, Haggard,
mm-hmm.
Ted Haggard, one of the leading opponents of gay lifestyle, gay marriage, and he's off doing meth and banging male prostitutes in Denver hotels.
Yeah, right.
I mean, over
yep.
and over. My internet's really slow. I've got like four or five of these crazy people just in the last couple of weeks, so as they pop up, I'll come back to
right.
them, but it's like slow as... molasses right now, man. It's fucking nothing.
Hey, quit praising on me, will you?
But all of them are about church leaders.
Speaking of molasses.
Hey, quit praising on me, will
you? Mo, man.
Mo had the greatest hair of all time in the history of hair. the old bowl cut. Just put a bowl on top. Trim around.
That's all it was. And then it's stuck up in the air. You look like a Dr. Seuss character.
Yeah, I have some optimism. I definitely can tell over the last 5 or 6 years, probably about 6 years ago, where I really started leaning towards atheism, and I kind of knew I was an atheist, and or at least started to practice atheism, and was definitely a hard agnostic. And since then, I've really noticed a lot more stuff going on. Did you see locally here in Detroit now that Satanic Church is opening up?
Is it?
Yeah, we're the only second place in the nation where it's going to have a Satanic church, and it's going to be it's based out of Detroit now. They have one in New York, and now we have one here. And I was reading, I'm on Facebook, and I'm reading their article about it, and I'm reading their tenets of what they believe and everything. And I'm sitting there going, that's kind of like me. You know, I totally agree with, like, everything they said. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of scary, you know. But, I mean, basically the sect or whatever that's opening up here, they're just atheists, but they want religious rights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They want all the same benefits of religions, other religions.
Well, I like that. Yeah.
But they're just basically atheists. They don't believe in a real devil or hell or heaven or anything. They don't believe in anything spiritual. They're just, you know, basically humanist, a secularist, and an atheist, and they're really, you know, not that there isn't Satanists that do practice and worship a real Satan to them or whatever. There are, I guess there is some of that, but it's not in this this group or whatever.
But I was Beelzebub, Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, I was talking to a Morticia. I said, we should probably go check it out. She's laughing. She goes, ah, maybe. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could buy into that. I don't know if I'd want to, you know, call myself a Satanist or go to a Satanist church, because I think that worshiping Satan is the same thing as worshiping God. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's, you know, worshiping no one. But I like them trying to further atheist rights and having them apply to atheists as much as they do religious. But, hey, here's another one here. This one's late July.
Religion.
Check this one out for speaking of crazy-ass religious Christians. North Carolina pastor, kills self in front of deputies as they try to arrest him on child sex charges. That was late July.
That's
Michael
insane.
Mullis. So he offed himself. Bye-bye. No worries about you, child pedophilia fuck.
Jeez.
Danger!
Off into the...
Yeah.
But you know what? They believe he's all forgiven.
Well, that's what he probably
thought. He's forgiven.
He was probably like, I just asked the Lord for forgiveness. I know he'll forgive me. I better kill myself now before I fuck another little boy.
I'm sure he did. I'm willing to bet he did. That he, right before, you know... If he had a gun in his hand, he knew they were coming, right? You know, he knew the cops were coming if he had a gun and shot himself. So... I'm sure he went in and said, oh, crazy leprechaun in the sky, please forgive me for fucking all those little boys, and I'll take care of this whole situation when the police come.
I wish the cops, like, got the guy in Ferguson or some of these other heavy-handed fucking cops would have got a hold of him before he got cut off. Wish they could have got a hold of him.
Didn't take the shit out of him, man, to stop him. They usually do that without fucking thinking. Did you see an 8-year-old girl got tased the fuck out of lately? I think last week or so. They said she was unmanageable.
Yeah.
8-year-old girl, they're tasing.
Eight-year-old girl. Full-grown men can't break her down and arrest her. They have to tase her. Yeah, that's
crazy, man.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The world just gets crazier and crazier. And you know, you see, I mean, the thing is you see all these fucking people supporting the shit, too, is the crazy part. All these heavy-handed cop tactics. Almost no one gives a fuck, man.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
how can you not care that they're rolling tanks down your street? The fucking police.
It's the same fucking clowns, too. It's these gun right advocates that are fucking borderline racist. They hate Obama. They fucking, they love gun rights. They usually vote Republican, and they're just like, and a lot of times they're poor. They ain't got nothing. They're fucking middle class to the lower middle class, the working
poor.
They
like the tanks.
They fucking love. They love seeing minorities fucking crushed and get their skulls kicked in. Everybody's
well,
a
it ain't
criminal
minorities that, anymore. I mean, it's a minority for the most part, but fucking. You know, there's some white boys in there, too, getting crushed. That's the thing that they
everybody's
don't
a fucking criminal. Everybody's a criminal. You know, they want to support.
Right.
They're waving their fucking flags on, putting them out on their houses and stuff and supporting the troops and everything while we're fucking over there killing women and children. They don't fucking research stuff and they don't want to know about nothing. You know, they're just fucking stupid, man. They're sheep.
Yeah.
They're fucking
well,
sheep,
you know,
man.
It's same with very religious people. I mean, that which falls into that category probably, but you know, they don't
right.
they don't want to know anything except for what they've been told for the last, you know, however long in their life about religion and the Bible and everything. I mean, you know. So, but that's, you know, that's it, man. That's why I think that's why you know, our friend from high school is so shaky about it. And I think there's a lot of people wavering, man, that they've been religious forever.
Definitely.
I don't know, maybe some of them just won't snap it. You know, maybe they'll be that way their whole lives. So, I mean,
see,
I guess
the thing with him is I remember when him and his wife got saved because I had been a Christian for a couple of years, and I remember seeing his wife at a party. I think we were about 23, and I think she had just gotten saved. I don't know if they were dating at the time or what was going on, but I think she had just gotten saved. I'd already been a Christian for a couple of years, and then I think he got saved, like, later on. But they've been Christians for quite a while now, probably 20 years or more. And I think the people, like, a lot of people that were in our class and around our high school and our grade, a lot of people got religion when they were older, like in their 30s and later 30s and into their 40s. And a lot of people started going to church when they got older because they start getting fear of mortality and stuff. But people that have been into it a long time, like they have for like 20 years or more, I think that those people, you know, they're a lot more likely to get out of it sooner because they're reading the Bible, they hear all this stuff. They're not as brainwashed and as, you know, they don't have that fresh zeal to them. Like when you first become a Christian, you think that you're just floating on air. You think everything you do is just anointed. You think God is following you around, giving you all these messages. Everything is a sign. God is, you know, intervening in your life constantly. He's doing all this shit with you. He's telling you this. He's speaking to you through little signs. You read the Bible. You read the Bible, and it means so much. Every little word means something. And you get all this, you know, you can't believe how great it is. But decades later, that stuff all fades away. And when you really start looking at it, you know, and you start, you know, finding out the truth, I think that's when you start teetering and you start, you know, thinking, man, this might be bullshit. You know, you start questioning yourself and everything. So they might be at that point, you know. You hope a lot of people are.
It's only those people that I guess are willing to kind of allow themselves to hear contradictory things.
Right.
That's
right.
What I told him too, and he goes, well, maybe he actually mentioned the show again, and he wrote, and I said, well, come on
right.
by. I said, what better way to verify your faith than with a bunch of scoundrels?
Right.
I said to him, you know. So I mean, he isn't going to learn shit or reconfirm shit about himself or his faith from a bunch of people that are going to agree with him. You know
right.
what I'm saying? If he really wants to reconfirm his faith and be sure that he believes everything, he needs, that's what you need, man. You need a counter
right.
opinion. You need people
right.
that aren't going to agree with you, that are going to say other things that you don't agree with, at least at first, or have never even heard before.
Well,
you
even
know?
The Catholic
and,
Church.
Huh?
Yeah, even the Catholic Church, when you were being brought up for sainthood, they bring a counter person to debate against
right.
Christopher Hitchens debated Mother Teresa's
right.
Was brought up for, or, I don't want to say canonization, I don't know if that's the word, but she was brought up to be considered for sainthood. Well, they had to bring in somebody to counter her, and her biggest critic was Christopher Hitchens, and he
yeah.
went in there and just ripped her to shreds. You
well,
know,
they
now,
invited him. That's by
yeah,
invite.
Well,
so the Vatican
yeah.
invited him to come.
No, he was
counter.
Invited.
Yeah.
Right, right. He was invited. But,
yeah.
you know, he's got a bunch, you know, there's still a bunch of cardinals listening or whatever, and then they vote
yeah.
on it. So, but I mean, so, you know, they're probably not going to believe what he says, but at least they came in there and let him just rip her to shreds. So, but I mean,
yeah.
you know, that's.
I wonder if they're
going
to, what do you think? You know, they seem to put every single fucking pope that dies is a saint now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this Benedict, dude? You think he's going to end up being a saint? I don't wonder.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't care less,
like,
really. I,
yeah.
I don't. I'm to the
it's
point
just
now
a
where
hot
I mean,
thing, man. You know.
I am so. I look on religion with such disdain, and the Catholic Church with such disdain
yeah.
that I just. I could give a fuck what they do. You know, you almost.
But here
hope
you
they
go.
Just
speaking
get
of which,
fucking new.
This is another one that popped up. Here's another crazy religion. This is a sick motherfucker here. This is just September 3rd. Tennessee pastor vows not to repent for homophobia. God says gays must be put to death. He's advocating...
Jesus, you certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
If that isn't right. a nice philosophy of Jesus, I don't know what is. How,
right.
how you can't be more Jesus-like than that.
Right.
He looks
yeah,
he looks like he may be gay, too. One of those guys that we talked about before,
right.
the worst offenders in the world about, you know, I hate gay people. They shouldn't have rights. They end up being gay. This guy's got a good chance
right.
of it. Just like Michelle Bachman's well, husband.
Right.
Here's another one. Here we go. This was early August off of Gawker. Baptist church leader arrested for soliciting dog sex on Craigslist.
Yikes.
Yikes. That's a good
that's
one.
Crazy. Oh, my God. Dog sex. What
so
the
they're
fuck
killing
is
themselves
that?
When the cops.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
They're at the
no. But I've been on a real big boat.
Advocating the death of gay people, having sex with little boys in hotels as a radio show host, looking for soliciting dog sex. I mean, it you know,
nice.
It just doesn't get it. And those are all church leaders. Those are the
right.
leaders of the church.
That's not the
but
people in the church.
Yeah. I think in general, man, it's the rot has come from religion, and it's seeped into politics and whatever else. I mean, religion is
right.
tainted so much, in including politics. But the rot
right.
is certainly in politics. And I you know, I think it always is. You know how I was talking about how we were talking about how crazy people are in the government, dude, and how
right.
You almost have to be a little insane to want to do some of the stuff you do here. And I started, you know, I'm going to refer back to this book, man, Untold History of the United States, massive book, and I'm finding some threads in it, and one is just that, man. We've talked about it before about how crazy people are in the government. And sure enough, dude, the first, let me see if I can find them here, find these two. Let's see. Oh, here we go. The first Secretary of Defense. First one we ever had, dude named James Forrestal. He suffered a nervous breakdown, and he was totally paranoid by the communists. He was just freaking out, and I'm not sure when he. Let's see, I'm not sure when he. He was like the right after World War II. He became Secretary of Defense. The first U.S. Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, suffered a nervous breakdown and, tormented by his own anti-communist paranoia, committed suicide jumping from his 16th floor room at Bethesda Naval Hospital, where he was there for mental issues. The first
yikes.
U.S. Secretary of Defense ever.
Oh, my God.
And so later on, here we go. So dude jumps out of the window, man. Something I'm thinking he fucking found out something that he shouldn't have and
right,
bye
right.
bye. But
right.
here's this guy, man. This is later on. They're talking about the resurrection in the Philippines that we supplied arms for. This is interesting. So Sukarno came in. He was the Philippines president and prime minister, or whatever. And he encouraged
the insurrection.
Yeah, well, you're right. He was encouraging the third world
resurrection.
Resurrection, yeah. The second coming of Sukarno. He was encouraging all these nations to assert like greater control over the resources. So that was it. You know, boom.
Right.
And the CIA attempted to weaken him by spreading rumors about him being involved with Russian blondes, and they were doing all kinds of crazy shit. They actively supported a coup hatched in late 57 by rebel officers, but they ended up, over a million people ended up dying in the Philippines during this insurrection and everything.
Yes.
So anyway, out of this, there's this dude, CIA agent, Frank Wisner, chief of the clandestine service, the directorate of plans at the CIA, who, having already started to become unglued, went completely crazy. Diagnosed with psychotic mania, he underwent 6 months of electroshock therapy, and listen to this, and was later reassigned to head the agency's London office after electroshock therapy.
Holy shit.
6 months of fucking shock and awe, which is actually where that phrase came from, and
right.
And then they reassigned him to the London office. So, I mean, there's like a thread through that book, dude, of insanity and the literal insanity where these people have gone insane and are running our government. I mean, that dude that did, the first guy that jumped out of the window in Bethesda, he had,
right.
He was in charge of the nukes, right? That was
holy
the other
mackerel.
Part of this book, man, that I was shocked at, is when we first started developing nuclear weapons and they started to kind of proliferate through our armed forces, like hundreds of people had command of the nuclear weapons.
Right.
Like any particular, like if there was a bomber or a captain flying a bomber with a nuclear weapon on it, he was in charge of that and had last word on whether he could drop it or not.
Wow.
For several years after World War II, and they finally condensed the chain of command up into NORAD and whatever, some other ship, but it was spread across hundreds of people. So anybody
wow.
could have fucking.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
That's insane.
The book also says that Russia has been working for years about trying to slow down the production of nuclear weapons and even remove
right.
them completely.
Well,
and,
that's what Chomsky said that. He said
yeah.
that Russia forever has been trying to get rid of nuclear
yeah.
weapons and been trying to get us to get rid
the
of
US
them.
Has said no.
And we won't do it. We won't
they
fucking
had,
do
they
it.
They actually had a point in Reagan and Gorbachev were meeting where it was on the table and they essentially had agreed to remove all nuclear weapons programs
right.
to destroy them,
right.
never produce them again, and the U.S. would not do it because Reagan wouldn't give up the fucking Star Wars initiative.
Nope. That's true.
That was the linchpin of it all, is he wouldn't give up the SDI initiative so the Russians wouldn't agree to it.
And it was like that back with Kennedy and Khrushchev was the same way.
Yeah.
They had all types of, they were trying to do arms reductions and everything, nuclear arms, and Russia already knew it, even back in the 60s they weren't going to be able to keep up with us. So they were trying to get rid of them back then, and Kennedy wouldn't fucking do it.
Yep.
He kept pressing production. You know, Kennedy
yeah.
was always thought of as one of the greatest American presidents, but he fucking almost got us fucking nuked with what
times.
He did in with fucking in not Panama,
Cuba,
fucking, the Cuban
Cuba.
Missile crisis. He
yeah,
he almost got it fucking nuked and all that.
Yeah,
because
oh,
of
yeah.
what he was
they,
doing.
They came
so,
really
I mean,
close to a couple times after that too. There was an incident that happened like 6 months after the Cuban Missile Crisis in this book, and they were. It was inadvertently, you know, I don't know what they call it, like DEFCON now or whatever. You know, it went up the chain where they were on an alert that was almost to the point of shooting nuclear weapons, and it was just a fucking glitch in the system. It started turning
Jesus
on weapon
Christ.
Systems, and Russia was alerted by it, and they started
right.
doing this. It was like War Games, that movie War Games of Matthew Broderick.
Right.
Same kind of shit,
right.
man. It wasn't that extensive, obviously. But apparently that we almost dropped nuclear bombs then too, man. There were bombers scrambled on both sides and fucking
well,
and we had to
when was that?
From it then too.
When was that?
What's that?
You know the when was that?
That was like 6 months after the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm.
Right after it.
Okay.
So it's been constantly going on. I'm right now. I'm in the Reagan years. It's called the chapter on Reagan. It's called that's a good chapter name. Response for Democracy. That's the Reagan years, and he talks about all these death squads. He's supporting in Central America and shit. You know.
Say it again, Dennis. You were Dennis, you were breaking up. Say that again.
The chapter is called Death Squads for Democracy, the whole chapter on Reagan.
Oh,
that's the name of
right.
the chapter. And, they're talking about how we've supported all these death squads and, you know, of course, Nicaragua and El Salvador.
Right.
And that's all the shit we heard from growing up. But, you know, no one even knows
right.
about that shit nowadays. You know, that's all Reagan
no.
stuff. And
all
of course,
they're
in Contra Fair where they're dealing drugs. Fucking CIA's
right.
dealing drugs for weapons.
Arms for, what was it?
Cocaine.
For drugs or they were trading
well,
weapons for whatever.
It was a triangle between, I believe, what was it? Either Nicaragua or El Salvador and Iran in the U.S., and they're swapping drugs for guns for money.
Right, right.
While Iran
I'm completely operational and all my circuits
world,
are functioning perfectly.
Wow! I feel good!
Yeah.
That was, Hal was in there. The Reagan era, Hal was getting ready to blow something up.
Yeah. They're talking about how he fell asleep at meetings all the time, and in
oh,
the
yeah.
very first cabinet meeting he had with all of his cabinet heads and everything, everybody was just stunned at how dumb he was, how unaware he was of foreign policy and not
right.
knowing what the hell was going on in the world, and he always had like these note cards in front of him at, like when he went out to go to foreign countries and shit. He had, you know, he'd be at these press conferences and have note cards in front of him, and they'd ask a question that didn't match the note cards, and he wouldn't even answer it. He'd just fucking
right.
fumble through it and then wait for someone else to ask a question. God damn,
yeah,
that fucker was dumb.
He was one of the most overrated presidents of all time.
Ever.
Reagan.
They called him the great communicator. It's just, he was funny. He had a good sense of humor.
Right.
That's what
right.
did it.
Right.
You know, and those Republicans love that because, you know, most Republicans have fucking no sense of humor at all, you know. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, he was an actor. He was just a fucking actor
yeah.
is all he was.
Yeah.
I mean, he went in there and just, you know...
He was, you know, he was head of the Screen Actors Guild, and of course
right.
he was in charge of routing out all the fucking commies in Hollywood.
Right.
During the Screen
right.
Actors Guild, so all those fucking people that got blacklisted in Hollywood, he had a part of that
right.
during the
right.
during McCarthyism. You know,
yep.
Joseph McCarthy, all fucking everybody was, you know, a communist at that time and shit.
Right, right.
So,
that's a change of subject, but on the eve of September 10th here, on the eve of the 9/11, do you want to talk about that? 9/11 at all? Revisit that at all? Or
I don't know, dude. What more can be said? I don't know. I you know every year distance. I don't really keep up on details much anymore. I mean, I used to know so
right.
much about 9/11 and all, and I noticed our faithful trio who's not here today. He was bashing 9/11 conspiracy people on,
right,
on
right,
Facebook,
right.
and. All I know is even with as much as I've forgotten, I'd love to debate him sometime on the show. I would crush him. If all he knows about 9/11 is what he's heard on mainstream media, I'd crush him
you're
in a debate. That's after
you're gonna crush,
debating.
You're going to crush, you're gonna
crush
Christ
Crusher.
Crusher?
Say that real fast. Crush Christ Crusher. I'd crush him. I hope
Crusher.
He comes down. I'd love to debate him sometime. But I... You know, I mean, it comes down, it's like religion, dude. It's like those basic things that you apply.
7 years of college down the drain.
You know, the whole crazy neighbor test, dude. You know,
right.
fucking the guy knocks on your door, hey, man, God's been talking to me. You know what, I've got my son in the trunk, and I'm going to take him up in the hills, and I'm going to kill him because God told me to do so. You know,
right.
are you going to, oh, okay, see you when you get back, you know, or... You know, call the cops or try and, you know, hey, crazy fucker, let your son out of there. Don't kill, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's just, is it crazy or is it not, you know? And
right.
the what they're trying to make us believe, over, I mean, you boil it down to a one-sentence basic fact that 19 amateur pilots that could barely fly Cessnas, most of them had maybe one or two lessons ever, could make... It could fly slow-moving 740, passenger airplanes into these targets all over, hijacking with box cutters the most sophisticated air defense system mankind has ever known, operated and run by a dude on dialysis in a cave in Afghanistan. That's what they want us to believe. Ridiculous. I keep going back to the fact no one's ever going to know entirely the real story, the whole story.
Right.
But all the shit that, everything that they're trying to tell us is so ridiculous. And it's too bad because, you know, a lot of Tea Party people are truthers also. And, of course, as soon as anything comes up about truthers, they get demonized and associated with the Tea Party. You know, what it's a lot of people, man, that don't have anything to do with the Tea Party, you know. Victims' families, 9/11 Press for Truth is a movie made, and it's all about the victims' families demanding an investigation. It started with them. The questions, the this doesn't make sense, the this story is bullshit, all started with the victims' families. So when these people think like it's so shocking and we're doing something to these poor people that lost loved ones in 9/11, but the whole truth movement started with the victims' families.
Right.
You know,
it's not a bunch of fucking nutbags with tinfoil hats on trying
some
to get the shit rolling. It's the people that that has people dying and are wanting to know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's
over and over, dude. This is so much, you know. They found that there's asbestos all through the World Trade Center, and it would cost, I think it was $1 billion to remove it all top to bottom. And Larry Silverstein, the landlord of the World Trade Center, opened up his comprehensive policy on the World Trade Center just 6 months before it was hit, or 8 months. And it specifically covered terrorist attacks. He's the same guy that came on and said that he got the phone call and they decided just pull it on World Trade Center 7 that collapsed without a plane hitting it.
That's the two most damning things that I think that people
cannot look for sure is
the Building 7 going down with nothing happening to it.
There was a fire inside which they said took it down.
Yeah, bullshit. No fighter jets. Now, listen, I was in the Air Force. I supported a fucking tactical fighter wing. I worked for a tactical fighter wing. The fact that no fighter jets were fucking
scrambled.
Scrambled for airliners that were hijacked. They knew they were hijacked, and they did not scramble. No
slow-moving
fighter jets. Is bullshit, man. It's bullshit. It only takes a few minutes. They're all around there.
10-15 minutes. There's bases all up the East Coast that could have intercepted those planes in 10-15 minutes.
The
quote-unquote plane that hit the Pentagon, I believe, was in the air over 90 minutes. Hour and a half. And you tell me not fucking fighter jet could have gotten up and intercepted that bunker?
They could shoot those down so easy, man. Yep. They're so slow-moving. Airline jet for a F-16 to shoot it down, it's fucking like shooting fish in a barrel. It's so easy. They could have did it so easy, and they didn't do it. Now, why has that not been investigated? And we know what that leads back to, right? We know that leads back to fucking Cheney took over the fucking
command.
Was it NORAD? NORAD.
First time ever.
Yep.
That happened
a year earlier.
Yeah, first time ever a citizen and a non-military officer was in control of NORAD. And it's by law that they have to scramble jets if airspace is taken over by anything, an offending jet or whatever.
Right.
They're flying around Washington, D.C., dude. The one plane that hit the Pentagon came over, and they said in the official report, 270-degree turn that plane, that slow-moving plane made around the Pentagon before it hit. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
And then you see the picture of the exit hole on the craft that hit the Pentagon. I think it was the C ring or D ring. It's just a round hole, man. You can tell it was a fucking missile.
Right.
You know, none of the videos ever been released of the hit on the Pentagon except for like four
right.
quick frames. They confiscated
right.
all the video, all the surveillance video all around the Pentagon, including in gas stations across the street, all these businesses
right.
in the area. They confiscated all the videos. None of it's ever been released. Probably the most
right.
highly surveyed building in the world, I'm guessing, is the Pentagon. And you can't
right.
show video of it?
Nope.
That's some bullshit. And they said that all the people and in the plane and that it hit the Pentagon were incinerated, except for I don't know
yeah.
how many, like three of them. And yet all
yeah.
of them were able to be identified by their dental records.
Oh, they found, no, you hear they found some of their passports.
Right. Well, right. That's
they found
what
their
they
IDs.
Found one of the terrorist passports of the dude that crashed into one of the towers. So this is another
right.
well, this is another fantastic fantasy that they want everybody to believe, that this guy's holding his passport. It's either on him or in his carry-on bag or something. One of the terrorists crashes into one of the World Trade Center towers, so that passport passes through the guy's body or his clothing,
right.
passes through the airplane, passes through the World Trade Center towers, flies out into the streets of New York City with the billions of other documents that were floating in the air that day, if you remember,
right.
all over the place.
Right.
And someone just so happened fortuitously has found
right.
his passport sitting on the ground on the sidewalk
right.
in fucking New York City. Found
right.
it on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Exactly.
You know, ridiculous. And a lot of that's
right.
just like hearsay, but when you talk about like science, scientific evidence, both the towers and World Trade Center 7 fell at just about the rate of gravity. And what that means is if you stood on top of it and dropped a pool ball right from the top of the building, both buildings fell at about the same pace as that pool ball that you would have dropped from
right.
the very top of the building. No
right.
time has a steel-framed building ever fallen due to fire. And
right.
we had three of them fall in one day, three of them in one day, one not hit by an airplane.
Right.
The engineer, the designer of the World Trade Center said they designed that for plane hits, for planes colliding. After the Empire State Building got hit in 45 or 46 by a bomber.
Right.
And they had
right.
that in mind when they designed that. And he says in one of the movies, the numerous that I've seen, the actual architect of the World Trade Center towers said they designed it like a screen mesh.
Right.
So if you took a pencil and poked it through the screen, it would create a hole, but it would not collapse the entire thing.
Right.
That's almost word for word by the fucking guy who designed the building.
Right, right.
You know, on and on, dude. And if you're talking about physical evidence, all you got to do is look at the shit, dude. You see the Pentagon? There's no plane there, dude. There's no fucking, no wings, no fuselage, no bodies, no chairs, no luggage, no anything there. And in
right.
fact, if you see the point of impact where it's hit, there's a wall that's been sheared off, and you can see right inside the offices of the Pentagon, and there's a fucking open book sitting right on the second or third floor of one of those offices. So you're telling
right.
me that everybody on that plane got incinerated, and yet there's a fucking
right.
open book sitting right at the point of impact?
Right.
Shit.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable, dude.
Yeah,
it's
no plane whatsoever at the Pentagon. And then Shanksville, same deal. There's a fucking
right.
hole in the ground, man. Shit doesn't just disappear. Just because it was 9/11,
right.
there aren't new rules of physics for airplanes crashing into the ground. You're going
right.
to have bodies. You're going to have fuselage. You're going to have fucking, you know, several-ton titanium engines somewhere in the area when it crashes. Every single
right.
crash on the earth, on the physical ground, terra firma, has left some sort of fucking crash. some sort of evidence of pieces.
Right.
And yet all of these fucking planes, there's no – all of these crash sites, there's no planes.
Right.
It's just – I can't – I don't know, dude. On and on, man. But that, the physical evidence of just looking at it doesn't make sense. Just looking at it doesn't
make sense. Alex Jones is listening to you right now, and he's fucking beating off. He's like,
I took my notes directly from him, man.
Yeah.
Directly from him.
You were probably listening to InfoWars all day today, weren't you?
Yeah, dude, these days, there's nothing will ever be done about it. And if there is, if there's some sort of inquiry, it's going to be generations in the future when everyone is dead and you know, people can come to the grips that some fucking heinous act was, you know. This is the thing is, the government would never do that, but it has before. It already has the Gulf of Tonkin.
It's already
heard about
did
the
it.
Gulf of Tonkin, so we could go to
it
war
doesn't.
In Vietnam.
Right.
You know, they've created plans like that, Operation Northwoods, where – that was actually in this book, too. I was shocked to read that in this book I'm reading, Untold History of the United States, where they would create terrorist attacks on American soil and blame it on the Cubans so they could invade Cuba.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
The U.S. would never do that before. They also talked about hijacking a plane full of college students and shooting it down somewhere to give justification for the fucking invasion of Cuba. And that went all the way up through the Joint Chiefs of Staff who signed off on it. And I think it was during the Kennedy administration. And Kennedy said, "Are you fuckers crazy?"
Right.
And he wouldn't okay it. But that was all it would have taken. Is the signature by the president at that time, and we would have created terrorist attacks on American soil to justify invasion into a country. Boy, does that sound fucking familiar.
Yeah, and we've done all this kind of stuff before. Even in ancient history, in 1800, we fucking committed genocide against the Indians. In the 40s and 50s, we did radiation experiments on citizens and soldiers and everything. We did fucking, the CIA did all types of mind control experiments on people in the 50s and 60s with LSD and all the mind control drugs they were using. We have been fucking experimenting on people. We've killed people. We've did all types of shit to people. Like, you know, to sit there and say that government couldn't perpetrate anything like this, you're out of your fucking mind. I mean, you've got to be nuts. You literally got to be nuts to not think that this could happen. Now, can we prove it? No, we can't prove it, but... To sit there and say it can't happen, you're stupid. And the story that has been given does not add up at all. And the evidence that has been shown is not added up. And, you know, it's just to the point where you've got to at least, at a minimum, be totally skeptical of it. We have a breaking story right now, Dennis. So we're going to have a breaking story. We have a famous person has just died. And I know it's not Joan Rivers and whoever else. It's Richard Kiel Deese, who is Jaws from the classic James Bond movie.
Oh, man.
Died at 74.
Oh,
and so he, I guess he died today.
Well,
and,
he made it pretty far, man. That fucker was, like, gigantic.
Yeah.
He was huge.
Yeah, he was like a 7-foot guy. He wasn't real heavy or nothing, but...
No. He was in some other movies. I'm trying to think of what else he was in, but he was definitely in the James Bond movies.
He was the James Bond movies were the big ones.
He was in some other stuff I'm trying to think of. Was he in like Police Academy or some goofy ass thing like that? He was in like some.
I don't think he was on Police Academy. I don't think so.
I'm trying to think. I'll have to think about it. I have to search IMDb.
He was on some of the he might have been on like that the race movie where they're all racing cars, the Cannonball Run, and all that kind of stuff. He was on some of those kind of movies.
Hey, I just realized we were all in this in-depth 9/11 conversation, and we interrupted it to say the dude from the Jaws guy from James Bond.
Crusher may be calling in to fucking come up to your challenge. He's
Uh-oh.
I called him out on Facebook, so he may fucking come in here and kick your ass. I may have to go get another drink.
Dude, I didn't even brush up on all my millions of facts I know about 9/11. Well, bring him on.
He may come in and want to kick your ass.
I'll take him on. He better bring a fucking pencil and paper because I'm going to school that fucker right now, man.
That's hilarious. Yeah, if he calls in, I'll let him know.
Put him
on, I got my dogs running around me and everything. I'm going to come up here and make me another drink. Folks?
Yeah. So what do you, in the long run, dude, we got all this going on. You know, I still see some prominent people like Jesse Ventura still questions 9/11. There's still some people out there that question it. And if you watch the movie Zero, an investigation into 9/11, it was made by Italian TV, so they really don't have skin in the game about any of it. You know, there's Nobel Prize winners in there, physics. I mean, there's demolition experts. There's designers of, the World Trade Center. The eyewitness reports of the fucking and these are all over the internet, of firemen inside the buildings, and they could hear explosives going off, floor by floor.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah, I mean, you have tons of eyewitnesses saying they heard explosions going off constantly before the buildings even collapsed. So,
The funky thing too is this massive operation, and destruction of our air defense system, a defeat. I mean, someone actually defeated the most technologically advanced the mankind has ever known, and we knew who it was within 30 minutes of it happening. 30 minutes after that report, they started reporting on mainstream TV on Fox and CNN that it was Bin Laden. How quickly on any crime in the world that's committed, unless you have an eyewitness of the person doing it, are they fingered within 30 minutes of the crime? If we knew within 30 minutes that fucker was responsible for it, I mean, how come we didn't know if we knew 30 minutes beforehand? And not only did we know 30 minutes, not only was mainstream media reporting that it was Bin Laden 30 minutes after the event happened, it was mainstream media, right? It was mainstream media. So it had to have gone from our government somewhere, reported to mainstream media, and then so it was less than 30 minutes we had identified Osama Bin Laden as the person responsible for 9/11.
Right.
And how about the lady on BBC that reported the World Trade Center collapsing when it was behind her in the picture?
Right. Yeah.
And conveniently, her feed, her satellite feed, started breaking up soon after she started reporting the collapse of World Trade Center 7. And then it collapsed like 20 minutes after that.
Right. I agree.
It goes back to what I was saying, dude. I just don't believe in coincidences. There's too many.
Call in all you skeptics. 646-595-4686. All you skeptics out there, you know you're listening to us. Call in and fucking try to debate us on this.
I know. Christ Crusher's scared. I know he's scared.
Old DB will put your dick in the dirt.
Yeah. Big man on that keyboard, but when it comes to talking to us here, I don't see it happening.
You know what you're going to say this
to
us. Hasta la vista, baby.
So, yep. I don't know. Do you think there'll ever be anything that comes of it? I mean,
I don't know.
Just beyond what the official story is. I mean,
what's the nuts was president, your boy.
Ventura.
Ventura.
Another reason why he'll probably never be president.
He would order an investigation into it. They would want to assassinate him.
Right, almost immediately.
Fuck that, we ain't investigating nothing.
They wouldn't even let him in office, dude. That happened on the fucking campaign trail somewhere. He wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, he would disrupt
you know what happened, dude? You know what happened with him? He he's mid-60s. He would come down with some weird form of cancer and be dead within 6 months.
Yeah.
Because they, do that over
car
Russia.
Accident or something.
Right. They do that over in Russia. They got that shit. It's some kind of isotope. They'll put it in your drink or your food and shit. You're dead within 3 months. You just become full of cancer.
They killed that dude in Great Britain, man, that fucking Russian journalist. They sent someone over and poisoned him and killed him. He died slowly, too, man. He was in the hospital for like a month before that fucking radiation finally took hold and killed him. But they diagnosed it as radiation poisoning, and he was a harsh critic of Putin. And there was some other shit. I forgot what else was going on with that. But he had some dirt on some people and was reporting on it and some crazy shit. And fucking sure enough, man, he ended up being poisoned by radiation. They sent someone over to the Great. Can you imagine that? They fucking flew someone over. The dude probably had it on him in his jacket or carry-on bag or whatever. Maybe came in by boat and fucking came in, hunted him down and fucking and basically assassinated him with radiation. Those fucking Russians, man. No wonder fucking Fox has such a hard-on for Putin, man. He's such a dirty fuck. It's not even funny.
Oh, right, guy.
Yeah, they love it. They love fucking assassinating people.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know what? In the long run, man, I maybe it's been worse for the world that there hasn't really been a war in the U.S. that we fought against other countries on our soil. Because, you know, when they get on our soil, they do the
bring
most...
Bring them on, man.
They bring the most fucking... They do the most, you know, commit such atrocities, it's not even funny when you're on foreign soil.
I kind of almost wish it would happen, dude. All these fucking weak-ass fuckers. All these
I'm not wishing that.
Well, I mean, just saying, all these cocksuckers that think they're badasses walking around open carry and everything. Let them fucking put it to use. Get out there and start fighting Chinese, some Russian troops, some fucking...
Yeah.
Terrorists or whatever. Let's get out there and start fucking trying to fight for the country.
We would have to because our fucking military sure as hell wouldn't be able to respond to it. We're all over the world.
No, they're all over
the
world.
That's what happened in Katrina, dude. That fucking the Louisiana National Guard was over fighting in Iraq, the National Guard fighting in Iraq, and we had no one to fucking support and help those people, which is what they're there to do. And you know what? This is what I was thinking about. What if fucking Hurricane Katrina had been 2 million screaming Chinamen running right up the gut of the Mississippi? We wouldn't have been able to stop them until fucking Minnesota, dude. They would have taken over fucking half the country because we wouldn't have been able to stop. We couldn't even help a few people after a fucking hurricane. What if that had been an invading army? That's how fucking weak and unprepared we are. All of our shit's overseas, fighting for fucking oil and natural resources especially our National Guard. They're not to be fighting overseas, man. And yet we had all these fucking, that's just so we wouldn't have to start another draft. They did anything possible to avoid a draft to get the middle class involved in so that they wouldn't get pissed off. And so instead they sent the fucking National Guard over to fight a war that, you know, he's out of shape, fucking 50-year-old guys, you know, over fucking humping
it's
it through
true.
The desert.
It's true, dude.
I know,
man. Can you imagine that being in your mid-40s or 50s and fucking having to go over to fucking Afghanistan or Iraq and start fighting in a fucking war? That'd be insane.
You're in some fucking backwater unit in Louisiana just hoping, you know, there to fucking help people out in natural disasters and shit, and you're being fucking shipped over to Iraq, and next thing you know, you're going from swampland to a fucking desert fighting fucking who knows what.
Yeah. One minute you're cutting up fucking fallen trees from a tornado in somebody's yard, the next minute you got a fucking M16 you're killing. Fucking killing terrorists.
Oh, man. They fucking swamp people over in fucking the desert, man.
I just wanted to fish, and yeah, I get a little extra money for some you know, for some bait and shit. I joined the National Guard, and now I'm over here fighting a fucking fucking over the Middle East.
The Hajis. Fighting the Hajis, that's what they call them.
Fighting the ragheads over here.
That's, I'm sure that's how it went, man. But, there would be no way we could have fucking, during the Iraq War, we could, and maybe even now, stopped a massive invading force into this country. I mean, we could, you know, like I said, man, we couldn't even react after a hurricane killed a few thousand. I mean, they couldn't even get people in there, and they didn't know what the fuck was going on. And the very day that Katrina made landfall, George Bush was presenting a birthday cake to John McCain on a runway in Arizona.
Yeah.
That was the photo op, the day that fucking Katrina made landfall.
Yeah. That's
so
the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I almost think it's been a disservice not only to the country but the world. And I never would wish it on the country, but, you know, to have to fight a war. I mean, we fought the Civil War, obviously, but, you know, War of 1812,
right.
Maybe. I mean, the English were in. But to have a war that was, like, on soil that you know, our grandparents or great-grandparents' generation could – you know, and the thing was that, you know, I mean, it's not the military that gets fucked up. It's the innocent that get fucked up when you get invaded.
Civilians,
it's the women and
yeah.
children, you know, and
right.
that's what ends up being ingrained finally in people's psyche eventually, you know, is the realization that war is bad.
Right.
And I don't think that a whole lot of people in this country have that.
Well, maybe we need that, you know. Maybe we fucking need that lesson, but you know,
yeah.
we don't have enough people fighting against it for wars over there. We don't seem to give a shit about people. I mean, I've posted fucking children with half their heads blown off, with burnt, with no feet, with burnt fucking limbs. You know, people holding them up, just bawling, moms and dads. You know, just all types of gory pictures. I posted them on Facebook and said, you know, this
yep.
is shit. This is what your taxes are paying.
Yep.
Are you happy about this? And they're
if
just
people
like,
saw
you know,
that regularly, there wouldn't be war, dude. There would. I mean, and people
right.
don't even want to. This is the thing. Like this one girl's friend from college, and she's a friend on Facebook now, and she's got two sons that are in the Marines, and they're both over in
right.
Afghanistan. You know, and
right.
she posted one day, it kind of flipped my. It was like such a weird. She was like, she. Mentioned about people posting these graphic war deaths on Facebook
uh-huh.
and saying, you know, I don't. Oh, and in fact, she said it was the media. She was bitching about the media,
right.
which almost never does it anyway. You know, they
right.
shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. But it
right.
is,
people
man. That's what stops war, and that's why you don't see it on TV anymore. It used to be
right.
on the nightly news every night during Vietnam, man. People would sit down to their fucking dinner table and see how people were dying every day in Vietnam, man. You know, tens, hundreds every single day in Vietnam. 60,000
right.
died in Vietnam. And it came into people's homes, and they realized it, you know.
Right.
They saw what was going on. They saw the real effects of war.
Right.
And,
they fought against it.
And now we don't. It's that whole fucking Orwell thing, man. I mean, Orwell wrote about how we would fight wars on foreign territories and not even know about it, not even hear about it, and it's happening.
Uh-huh.
Orwell was a motherfucker, man. Someone came back from the future and talked to that dude because he
right.
knew more than fucking, I think, anyone about the
right.
future.
He was a wise
alien.
Guy.
Old wise guy.
He fought in World War I, I believe.
Right.
It's not too
right.
one of the world wars he fought in, and you know he's
well,
got some fantastic quotes about war.
Yeah, well, his quotes. Well, 1984 is basically a fucking. It's almost like they fucking took it as the blueprint for him now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's a blueprint. It was a blueprint. I think it's beyond that now, dude. I mean, did you see where? I mean, you know, the surveillance is just completely prevalent. It's omnipresent. It's everywhere. And this
right.
was a blip for like a day or two, I noticed on the internet, and it's gone away. But they discovered these rogue, they were calling them rogue cell towers. Did you see that? And no
rogue
one could
what?
Figure out who owned or operated the cell towers. And a lot of them were placed by military bases. And I was reading, they found, I believe, located like 17 or 19 around the country, and they're all, you know how these cell towers, they're dressing them up with like fake tree limbs nowadays so you can't see them and
right.
shit? They look camouflage. Mm-hmm. Well, most of them
right.
were like that, and several of them were around Army bases. And I looked right at my wife, and I go, that's the fucking NSA. They've got their own
right.
cell tower network, and they're spying, they're pulling signals from the surrounding areas, spying on these fucking military bases, and whoever
right.
else they want to. I can guarantee you that was a government entity. That's the only
right.
fucking explanation. I mean, Verizon or AT&T isn't going to go out there and fucking load up and start creating a secret network that oversees these fucking military bases. It's a government agency.
Right.
Has
I think
to
we
be.
Might have old DB. I think we might have Crusher in a while.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
It's 9:45, man.
I know.
Yeah.
You right.
Crusher.
What's going on, man?
Just
kind of calling in late, man.
Did you bring a pencil and paper?
Yeah.
I was planning on schooling you about 9/11, but it's getting a little late. I don't know if you bring a pencil and paper next time. We were talking about you earlier, man. Your ears must have been burning. We were talking about that smack you're sending out on Facebook about 9/11 conspiracies earlier.
Is it not a conspiracy?
Huh?
Is it not a conspiracy theory? Or do you have evidence?
I don't know. The government story is, that's for sure.
Well, we know one thing. How are you going to school me on something if you don't have the evidence?
Well, there is evidence. We're talking about it. There's physical evidence that you can look at. Just pull up some pictures of Shanksville. There's no plane there, dude. There's no body. There's no several-ton titanium engines built by Rolls-Royce or McDonnell Douglas anywhere around. There's no bodies. There's no chairs. There's no luggage. Nothing. In
does
the
that
spot
mean it was
for that plane crash.
Does that mean it was an inside job?
Who knows?
Hey, Crusher.
They never know.
I'll never know all the details,
but I know that shit ain't true, man.
Exactly.
Crusher. Crusher.
I know about Shanksville, though. I know a plane crashed there.
We arm terrorists around the world. We fund terrorists.
We sure do.
And we had a president that was in office that was friends with the Bin Laden family in Saudi Arabia. Let's not act like we don't have no fucking access to fucking cause something to happen or allow something to happen.
Well, I'm not
acting
like that.
And
I'm
suddenly this
rogue.
So
I'm not saying
here it is
we don't,
again,
but
man.
How can
here
we
is.
Say I'm not saying it's not an inside job, but I'm also not saying that it is until
what I'm saying is that the government story isn't true. What story is true, I don't know. But there's too many aspects that are clear and concise and right in front of you that you can see. I mean, there was no plane at the Pentagon, dude. There was no plane, no wings, no fuselage, no chairs, no bodies, no luggage. They only picked up, I think it was 10 or 12 random metal pieces off the lawn of the Pentagon.
Were those pieces, and what did they come off of?
Who knows? I think it's a missile. I think a missile was shot into the Pentagon. That's why there's no video of it. There's 4 still framed photos of the vehicle that crashed into the Pentagon. You know the Pentagon is the most highly surveyed building in the world. Easily. I haven't even looked it up, but I can guarantee you that's a fact.
And my question is, they
went around. Not only do they not have any video from the Pentagon itself or pictures of that vehicle crashing into the building, they went around and confiscated all the video in the area, all the surveillance video in the area, including gas stations across the street. Any of the buildings that had surveillance video of the Pentagon was confiscated, and it's never been shown.
So you think the Bush administration had the Pentagon attack.
This is my I'll never know it all. This is my theory though. I think that it was the Reichstag all over again, and that
right.
that this shit went down so we could invade Iraq.
Why?
That's my theory.
It will never be proven.
Why weren't the towers
enough? If it was an inside job, just to take down. To go to war in Iraq. Why do anything to the Pentagon?
Well, they had to create a big enough effect to justify to do whatever the fuck they wanted to. You're talking the Patriot Act. You're talking tons of executive orders issued by Bush taking over control of whatever he wants, basically, through these executive orders. The day before... The fucking,
Rothschild,
before 9/11, on 9/10, Donald Rumsfeld does an interview with CBS News and admits that the Pentagon has lost $1 trillion on 9/10. Where
right.
did it go? $1 trillion with a T. Where did it go? And you can pull that
right.
up. An interview with CBS. Oops, we
right.
lost $1 trillion. I'll tell you where it
then
went. The very next day,
right.
anybody
no,
responsible
well,
for it, covering it up, well, whatever
there's,
happened,
there's,
whatever happened.
There's a lot of things we don't know yet that I would do agree are sketchy.
Dude, the towers dropped at the rate of gravity, just as if
there,
you would
I mean,
stand on the roof with a cue ball, a pool ball, and dropped it off the roof. Those towers fell at that same speed.
So what can we do to...
Not only the two, but World Trade Center 7 that was never hit by a plane.
Right.
Fell at the speed of a 47-story building that was
never
hit by a plane. Never happened in history
of the world.
Fell at the rate of gravity.
Right.
It's just too much shit. I don't know what the fuck it is, but what they said ain't right.
Right.
There's eyewitness reports from firefighters right in the building hearing explosions in the World Trade
right.
Center. Look it up.
Before they fell. Numerous.
Not only fire, police, but people on the streets that were in the buildings heard explosions.
Right.
Over and over, dude. It's fucked up. It doesn't make sense. Something's jinky about
right.
it, and I don't, you know... No one will ever, ever have all the answers to it. I don't think the truth will ever come out, but what I do know is what they say happened didn't. You got 19 amateur pilots with box cutters that took over the most technologically advanced air defense system that mankind has ever known and crashed 3 slow-moving jets into separate targets. The Pentagon plane was in the air almost 90 minutes, over an hour.
90 minutes.
An hour and a half, dude. And it takes about 10-15 minutes to scramble a jet anywhere along the East Coast to take that sucker down.
What will it take to get indictments?
They're not going to.
It'll never happen. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take all those fuckers dying. To four generations from now. If they actually decide to do another investigation of what really happened. We spent more money on the Monica Lewinsky investigation than we did 9/11. By far.
Right.
Unless all those people are dead and we can't hold them accountable anymore. That's the only way it's going to happen. I don't know who did it, but it ain't what they said it is. I know that.
I worked for a tactical fighter wing in the Air Force back in the 80s, the late 80s, and I'm going to tell you, it only takes minutes to scramble them jets. They did F-16s to shoot down them airliners that are heading towards the Pentagon and the trade centers. They didn't scramble nothing. Nothing was scrambled.
Nothing.
They didn't do anything, dude. And you know who was in charge of all that? Dick Cheney took over that like 9 months earlier, DB was saying earlier, the first civilian to ever take over NORAD in the history of its existence. He fucking took it over.
To ever be in command of NORAD happened to be on the day of 9/11.
Right.
Too many. You know, it goes back to what we've talked about before, man. I don't believe in coincidences, and there's about a billion of them. on 9/11. It, right. Over and over and over again. And there's just too much crazy bullshit. I mean, you know, being directed by some dude on dialysis in a cave in Afghanistan. You know,
right.
Come on. And they just happen to be a son of the family.
Didn't even
you know,
didn't he even say he had nothing to do with it? He claimed
he did.
He had
he came out
to do
and
with
said
it.
He had nothing to do with it. And if you look at the tape where he admits, and CNN found this tape in a fucking cabin in Afghanistan or Pakistan somewhere,
right.
You look at that tape where he's where they're sitting around joking about attacking the World Trade Center on 9/11. It's fucking not him. And you look up
right.
pictures. You can look them up right on the internet. And there's side-by-side comparisons of the two people, the one guy admitting that he attacked and Bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
and they don't look anything alike, man. They do not look
mm-hmm.
anything alike. Skin color, facial features, bigger nose, one's right-handed, one's left-handed.
Right.
It's fucked up. It's just too much crazy shit. So... I don't know. It's just the fact that there's so many unanswered things, and I don't think they'll ever be answered. Ever. I mean, again,
right.
So who knows, 4 or 5 generations down the line. Because there's too many people that doubt it. There's too many people that think we're, like, people that don't believe the government story are conspiracy crazy asses. And, you know, dude, you've been on this show long enough with us to know we may be a little odd and shit, but we're not crazy. We're not stupid.
Right.
We're not naive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot
you know what
of,
I'm saying?
Lot,
we're some fucking ordinary folks that believe that something different happened on 9/11. And that's the sad part, is they identify the Tea Party with these people and whoever else, man, when there's a lot of us out there.
That might be the case, you know? I mean, there's... Like
look
said,
it up,
dude.
Everything I said, Google that shit. Google that shit, man. It's all true. Google that shit right
hey.
Now, because it's all true.
I'm
everything I said.
Yeah, call it next week. Got Crusher calling a lot earlier. We'll fucking re-go over this. And, we'll hit it hard again next week. Thanks for calling in, though. And on this fucking 9/11 Eve. And another good one, Dennis.
Just what's that? daisy.